Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry Podcast. My guest today is an alderman running for Ward 1, Jennifer Burgess. And Jennifer was nervous, as many guests are when they come on the show. Obviously, podcasting is a different media, and she did great. Honestly, a lot of times when I'm doing this podcast, I'm trying to listen and then worry about the topics that we should cover and segue. Honestly, it was almost as if she had the episode planned out. Like she knew, like she segued perfectly and she did absolutely wonderful. Honestly, she should have a podcast herself. But not to take away from this episode, obviously, but she did fantastic. And we had a great time. You're going to hear a lot of laughter. You're going to hear a lot of passion about Ocean Springs, and you're going to hear from a woman who is truly dedicated, not only to her ward, but to the city. Again, we hit the key topics. We talk about trees. We talk about the entrances to Ocean Springs, downtown development of East Ocean Springs. We talk about it all. And she's a wonderful personality. I think the only thing that might've been missing is a margarita, but in any case, please welcome Jennifer Burgess. But so are you ready to get started?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry Podcast. My guest today, Jennifer Burgess.
Hello.
How are you?
I am fantastic.
Well, Jennifer, you're running for alderman.
Yes.
In Ward 1. Okay. Well, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your ward.
Well, the ward is located it's made up of three subdivisions. You've got Fort Bayou Estates. Mm-hmm. Culioca and Monticello Woods.
Okay.
And, you know, goes along Ocean Springs Road. And then a little bit down Bienville. And I was interested to find also that the inlet, that area is also considered part of Ward 1.
The inlet, those apartments those that new, have the businesses yeah, below yeah, with four yeah. bulls in there.
I saw it on the thread sheet, and I was like, huh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's neat.
So traditionally that wasn't, you know, because there wasn't anything there.
So then you have all the businesses there on 90, on the north side of 90 as well, right?
Yes.
All those are part of your ward?
Yes.
Okay. And how long have you been living there and in Ocean Springs?
We've been living in Ocean Springs in that house. I live in Braemar, which is at the back of Fort Bayou Estates. 14 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We love it.
Too cool. I almost sunk a boat out there at the pier. So, yeah, I was working for Matt at Mr. B's back in the day. And
I know Matt.
Yep. So he had me doing all sorts of jobs. But one of the things I did was I replaced the power packs on his boat, and I wanted to take it out to run it while I needed to. And so he let me take it out. And I took my wife out, her mom, her brother. I get out there. Boat's loaded up. Unload it, start like driving out through the wake zone, and then I try to open it up. It doesn't go anywhere.
Oh.
Yeah, it just bogs down. So I come back, put it back on the trailer. I can't pull it out. And so I had to get another truck to pull my 91 Explorer and the boat, the trailer, and me
Why
out of the
pull
water.
It out?
I didn't put the plug in.
So you're telling me that the whole time this is going on, the Three Stooges music is playing in the background,
yeah,
right?
Yes. Yeah. I've
had those moments.
Botch it. So almost sunk a boat. Ironically, my dad bought a boat, and he didn't pull the plug out while it was parked, and a big rainstorm came in, and he had a cabin, and so water got all in the cabin and everything else. So we are great boat owners.
You are definitely seafarers.
Yeah. So,
but it's good to get those out of the way. You know, you'll never do that again.
No, for sure. I tell people all the time, it's not about avoiding mistakes. It's about making mistakes soon.
And learning them.
That's
learning
right.
from them.
The faster you make them, be a failure very quickly.
And with nobody looking.
Yeah. That's ideally. Ideally. So why are you running?
So, you know, that's the $1 million question.
Right. Why would you put yourself through a public?
I have that question all the time. And sometimes, you know, I'm very clear on why someone would run. I mm-hmm. get it. And then looking at me going, why am I running? Why am I doing this? I have moments where I feel very, very confident. I know why I'm running. And then I have moments where I'm like, what am I doing? I'm in over my head. And I think that's the case for just about anybody who's embarking on a new endeavor like this.
Yeah, anything new for sure.
About 2 years ago, I had some friends of mine that had planted a seed, kind of, hey, you know, have you ever considered politics? And I had a little, but it was always one of those things, where do you start? You know, where can I do that? I've always been involved in a lot of civic activities. I've always sat on the boards, and I've always been a doer.
Yeah.
But I've always been behind the scenes. That's where I'm comfortable. And so I was thinking about it, toying with it. And then Alderman came up, the conversation of Alderman. Okay, that might be somewhere I could start. And then I just kind of put it on the back burner. And then this past 6 months to a year, things just started falling into place. I had been praying about it and just trying to figure out if this is something I need to do, if this is the opportunity. And there was a lot of stuff that happened in the past 6 months that I could not deny. Things just started falling in place.
Wow.
And then, so I sit on the board for Fort Bayou Estates. I manage their public relations Facebook. And among other things, I'm trying to organize a Fourth of July golf cart parade.
Okay.
Within the neighborhood. So that's going to be my baby this upcoming 4th of July. Yes, we'll see. Because, you know, participation, anytime you try something new, that first go around is kind of like, rah, rah, and then it builds up over time. So I've set my expectations fairly low.
Well, you let me know when it is, and I'll bring my golf cart over. And
yes,
we'll go,
it'll be fun. Golf carts, bicycles, well, I kind of want to open up to everything. Yeah, but
be kind of like Halloween at Bienville Place.
Yeah. I would love for Fort Bayou and all those neighborhoods to get. I mean, there's no reason why we can't do a big Halloween. I love Halloween.
Yeah.
But Christmas, we do a Christmas parade. Well, not really a parade. It's Santa rides on the fire truck and goes through. And that's normally, we have it at the park. But because of COVID, we couldn't do anything. So we thought, you know what, let's do a parade. So we had the truck. We had police department. We had two golf carts, one of which was mine, and decorated to the gills because that's how I roll. And
sure,
I was
sure.
the only one decorated. And I, you know, I'm originally from Mobile. I've done Mardi Gras. I've ridden in the float. So, of course, I had a ridiculous amount of throws.
Yeah.
And I had invited a friend of mine, Sarah. She was a hoot. She'd never done it before. And we were just pegging kids with pencils and erasers and candy. And they loved it. And it was so much fun. So I was like, oh, we are absolutely doing this again.
Yeah.
And at that time, John Gill.
He is the
alderman for Ward 1 right now. He has since let everybody know that he's retiring. But he was retiring, and I found out, and I approached Mr. Gill, and he knew each other, and knew us because of the board. And I gave him my, you know, credentials and what I was doing and why I was doing it and why I was feeling pulled or called or pushed or however you want to put it.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is awesome. Because I think, and he'll even admit it, that he's run here recently because he couldn't find anybody that he thought would take it as seriously or be as dedicated to it as he's been. And he's been very dedicated to it.
Yeah, the longest running alderman, right?
In the state of Mississippi.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's very impressive. And to devote that much effort and work into something like that is very admirable. And so he has been coaching me. He's been mentoring me. He's so sweet. And even by his own admission, he said, it's time. You know, it's time for some young people to get in there. And he's been very helpful. So,
you know, it's interesting when you have somebody that has been in that position for so long. It's not just the individual, but what you don't see about the individual, the network that he's cultivated. John's probably an individual that if there's a problem, he can call some specific person in the state who has that specialty, and he has a relationship and has had for so long. You know, and he's somebody who probably has credentials that. Well, can get them to places other people couldn't through normal channels. So that's some big shoes to fill. So it's very interesting to me, and for that individual to give an endorsement, I think is more than just a passing gesture.
I'm completely humbled. I'm honored. a little intimidated, you know, because I know I have some big shoes to fill, but I'm also determined. And people that know me know that if I'm determined, I don't let something go. So.
Well, as to the previous point I made, he must have seen something like that in you as well in order to give that kind of endorsement.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have to put him in a headlock or anything like that. It came naturally. I didn't have to be that, you know, aggressive or anything like that. It was actually quite amicable.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. So what are some ideas that you have for improvement for your ward, or what are some things that you're going to focus on as an alderman for that ward?
Well, as John's done a fantastic job. I mean, as far as the subdivisions are concerned, for the most part, the bigger things have been addressed. There was some, you know, flooding issues in Fort Bayou. There was also some sewage issues of flooding in, I believe it was Coleoka. And
yeah, Coleoka, the back of Coleoka kind of has some of those problems. There's some low-lying areas of Monticello as well.
And so as far as getting those addressed, I feel like sometimes Coleoka and Monticello Woods feel like the redheaded stepchild because Fort Bayou is so big.
Yeah.
And my intent is to show them a little bit of love, you know, to be present and accessible for them as well, and to incorporate them and invite them into anything that Fort Bayou does, you know, to be a part of that and help them organize things for themselves. As far as that's concerned, truthfully, this position is ears. It should be a lot more ears and a lot less of this because I want to hear from people. What do you see? What do you need? Because that's what I am, a mouthpiece. It doesn't matter. As an alderman, at least the way I'm going to approach it, as an alderman, it's not what I think. It's not my opinion. It's what do my constituents think?
Sure.
What do they want? And I think being very transparent. I think in the past, certain levels of animosity have grown because people don't know what's going on. They see decisions being made, and they don't know how those decisions came about.
That's been a big topic of this administration, if you want to call it that, with the current mayor and some of the aldermen using things like executive session, you know, where they go behind closed doors to make a decision. What are your thoughts on the use of executive session?
Well, executive sessions are designed to, I mean, they are to be used, but there's times when they're apropos and there's times when they're not. When you're dealing with personnel, either, you know, discussing salaries, or if you're dealing with personnel and, you know, disciplinary
terms. Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of HR type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's privacy, and that doesn't need to be common knowledge. That would be an executive session. But other than that, I don't see the need for it. And, you know, even in executive sessions, minutes can be kept. They have to be approved at the session. That's my understanding.
Right.
So I can't speak intelligently as to what has happened in the past as far as executive sessions and when they occurred and why they occurred. But I do know that if I'm elected, executive sessions are going to happen when it's appropriate. But everything else, that's my platform is transparency.
Yeah.
Because I think that Ocean Springs residents are rational people. They're smart. They're passionate about their town, and they're reasonable, and we can want all we want, but if it can't happen, it can't happen. And I think that residents would be more, that would be more palatable to them if they understood why. Okay, so we discussed it. Here's the situation. Here's the data. Here's why we can't do it. But if they see that and they understand, they might be more, easy with the results, or even better, it would open the dialogue for, hey, well, have you thought about this instead? Collaboration.
Sure.
Having conversations.
Right, right. Yeah, there was, it's funny you talk about keeping minutes. Ocean Springs, you can pull that cord out if you'd like, if
you need some more room. Doing?
Yeah, okay. It might be that.
Knowing me, it'll end up around my neck.
Give yourself some more credit here.
I'll hook it and yank something out. I don't know.
But yeah, so
the city had paid for it can be tricky to navigate. The city had paid for a consulting group to come out and source businesses, right? And mm-hmm. so they made a decision to do this under executive session. They didn't keep any meeting minutes,
things of that nature.
It was very, very suspect. And so what they had to do is pay $30,000 out up front in order to do that. And they were supposed to recruit, I don't know, I think 100 businesses. And after a year.
I did hear about this. Yeah, that reminds me.
They produced zero businesses. Although I did hear a rumor that the Dollar General was one of the ones that they sourced, the one that's going up on 90.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because we need another Dollar General.
I didn't know this. Apparently, there's like city ordinances that
like that, Waffle Houses, you have to have like so many every few miles.
Yeah, well, you've got to keep them separate. You can't have those types of stores. But those dollar stores are like primary competitors with Walmart.
Yes, so, I can imagine they would be.
Yeah, because they're low cost. They buy in volume. You know that.
Oh,
that
don't you know? Don't get me wrong. Dollar General.
Yeah, they another use of the executive session was, I believe, the decision about the Mary C., which was obviously publicly controversial.
Yes, so. And that was, you know, I think that was an unfortunate situation all around. Obviously, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I think things could have been handled differently.
Yeah.
But what I like about Melanie Allen is that she has said, we're moving forward. You know, we're not going to look back. We're going to move forward. Mm-hmm. We'll look back in the ways of, for the means of learning from our mistakes, but we're going to move forward. Yeah. And I think that is the best. I mean, you can point fingers all day long. That's counterproductive.
Sure.
It happened. We can't change it. Let's move forward.
That's right. Yeah. It's, I teach air traffic control on base. And so when people are, when people are in these simulations and they make a mistake, you know, two aircraft get too close to each other, there's a snowball effect that happens and people fixate on that. But mind you, aircraft are still flying. So you have to like, yeah, okay, it's done. That's what I tell people. That's in history now.
Mm-hmm.
We can think about it later, but we have to keep going.
Absolutely.
You know? So
absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's time to move past it. The only reason that I ask it, I've been asking the candidates about it is because it was such a public thing. And I think people were so disappointed, you know, I'm not even sure, like, when I was reading about it initially, it was just, I felt like it was my family airing out their dirty laundry in public. That's what it felt like.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, that's something we handle, you know,
right.
For it to go so public was right. Very, very disappointing, but.
Well, those things happen.
Yeah.
It happens in all lines of business. It happens within churches. There was a situation in Ocean Springs with a church, and that was very, very embarrassing. And as a member of that church, it was hard.
Mm.
We have bounced back tremendously because God had a plan, and it worked out wonderfully, and now we're stronger than ever. But that was a dark period, and it was embarrassing. And I agree with you 100%. But you look at it, and you say, you know what? Yeah, that happened, but that's a piece of a puzzle. It's mm-hmm. a chapter in this book. It's not the whole book.
Right.
So we're going to turn the page and we're going to learn from it. Obviously we read it, we studied it, we lived it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to turn the page. And that's the only way you recover and reconcile and make peace with it.
Agreed. Yeah. Mistakes are great decision points, right? Because one, they tell you maybe where you had a weakness or a hole in your game, a chink mm-hmm. in the armor. Well, let's fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Move forward and hopefully never make that mistake again. That is, after all, what growth is, right? It's not making the same mistake twice. So, but anyway, moving on from that, well, I guess that's a good segue into talking about preserving art and culture in the city. You know, there's this weird balance that I think municipalities have to strike, especially ones like Ocean Springs, where we have to grow, right? We have to expand, but how do we do so in a way that still preserves the essence of the city?
Right. It can be done, but there are so many factors that have to be considered, and especially when you have a limited budget, because if you want that balance to occur, then there's ways the city is going to have to step up. You know, you can bring the big businesses in, and there are benefits to that, obviously, employment. Now, it can be a downside as far as employment where the county is concerned with mm-hmm. the city, the employment can be increased. You have higher wages. Mm-hmm. You have the increased ability to be promoted. There's job stability. There's a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it brings other businesses in, you know, that trickle in and investors and things like that. But what does that do for the small business? You know, we have to protect our small businesses. And the best way to do that is to level the playing field as much as we can. The downside with the big boxes is that, you know, they disproportionately pay taxes based on the resources that they use. Mm-hmm. Depending on the industry, there could be certain environmental factors. Bless you. Oh, I thought you were going to sneeze.
Oh, you're good.
I was being proactive on that. Bless you.
I appreciate that.
I lost my train of thought.
No, you're good. You're talking about protecting businesses.
So, you know, we have to protect the small businesses and being able to create ways for them to tap into mm-hmm. the logistics and the resources that these large businesses use. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that the taxes that the small businesses pay are more proportionate.
Yeah.
Creating opportunities for them to utilize technology. This past Christmas was an eye-opener for me because there were so many people, myself included, that wanted to keep business local. You know, a lot of businesses were struggling. Mm. You know, we didn't want to do the Amazons and the Walmarts and all that. We wanted to keep it local. And I did the best I can, good at that time. There was so much feedback I got from the limited stores that had online capabilities, that had online stores.
It forced a lot of businesses to
get technologically savvy quick.
Yeah.
But the fact that they weren't in the first place was, to me, quite intriguing because that almost becomes second nature. And a lot of people, you know, a small business will tell you, well, I can't handle that kind of capacity. You know, I can't open it up to everybody because then I'll have inventory issues. That would be too much for me to handle. So there is a balance there, but I think that if the city could create educational seminars for small businesses that wanted to attend, saying, hey, here's how you build a website. Here's how you become relevant in social media. Here's how you can create an online shopping experience for your patrons, and teaching them. You can have people from the community who are very, very knowledgeable in that, and they can volunteer their time for that.
Sure. It seems to be that this city doesn't have a problem with citizen involvement for boards, so having a business technology board might be a good idea.
Small business associations, you know, having the city promote and encourage and set up resources to create small business associations where these small businesses can pool their resources, you know, share their resources, and negotiate things as a group, as an organization, that they wouldn't ordinarily be able to get on their own. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm just scratching the surface, but I mean, there's opportunity there. It can be balanced.
Well, I love that innovative, you know, type of thing. I'm sorry about the throat for some reason.
It's the but, coffee.
What's that?
It's that caramel macchiato.
It must be. And thank you for that, by the way. But
it's a fruit coffee. It's not settling with you
still
very
It still gets the job done. But yeah, so, you know, you mentioned using those established logistics lines, and one of the problems that comes with having big box stores, while there is utility for them to bring in other businesses because they are kind of anchor points, right? When a Walmart goes up, a shopping center follows, smaller businesses can jump in there, sometimes small businesses. But if the goal is to increase the prosperity of the citizens, right, mm-hmm. Not just the opportunities, franchises tend to take money out of cities because they have to pay their headquarters. They have to pay pre-established logistics lines. Think of McDonald's. The McDonald's down here are primarily owned by one family, right?
Right.
So, but they don't take advantage of local distribution lines. That's Walmart saying, here's the distribution, or I'm sorry, McDonald's, these are the distribution lines you use. We need our cut as well.
Right.
So a very small amount of the actual money stays within the community. So where do we find that balance? Because, again, small businesses says, hey, look, you know, if you open a business, hey, my buddy's got a delivery service, he can hook you up. So if it doesn't stay in the city, it stays locally.
Right. And I think it depends on the franchise. Yes, that franchises have established certain logistical ones, like you said, but there are more and more franchises that are coming about that are sensitive to that topic. They don't want to be perceived as the bad guy, so they will give some leeway in certain areas so that it's not all exclusive.
Right, right.
I believe Chick-fil-A is one of those.
Okay.
That they're community-based, so they do give some autonomy to the owners as far as, you know, utilizing some local businesses.
I see.
I don't want to speak out of turn and say, you know, well, what those are. I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
But things like that, I think it merits looking into what their stipulations are. But it falls back to the taxes as well. You know, that can help offset. You know, if we're taxing our smaller businesses more proportionately, then that will benefit them.
Sure.
And then again, supporting them and helping them to be competitive. That's the key. If they're not being able to utilize technology, whether because they don't have the resources or they don't have the knowledge, that's an easy fix.
Yeah.
And then if that positions them against this big box to be more competitive, that will help protect them. But yeah. I see what you're saying as far as, like, not putting that money back into the community.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we have to look at the pros and the cons.
Sure.
Okay. How much are they bringing to the community versus how much they're spending in the community, you know, and see.
Is the business investing in the community as much as we're investing in the business to be
there?
Correct. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the big thing, especially in line with Ocean Springs and not the culture so much, but as the dynamic, is our environment. You know, we're very, very eco-conscious. I mean, we have our wetlands that we want to protect, our beaches, our wildlife. And depending on the business that's coming in, all that has to be considered, especially when you're talking about East Ocean Springs.
Well, let's talk about East Ocean Springs then.
Nice segue.
I know. Well done. You're very good at this.
No.
I got to tell you, I think you set all these up for me. This has gotten very
not
easy.
Not really. It's just kind of flowing. Sometimes, look, I'll say something and I'll go, oh, I didn't want to talk about that. No. I told you, I'll talk about anything.
So I've had... The conversation of East Ocean Springs has ranged from it will never develop to it'd be awesome if, like, imagine if Dr. Sangani had put the promenade in East Ocean Springs. Now, between those two extremes.
Yeah, but do you really think that, I mean, with
me? Do I think? No way. That's not a good idea.
No, exactly. Well, that's okay. I just want to clarify.
Yeah, no. If you're first of all, this is just your opinion. But if I'm going to give mine, no way.
No.
But yeah. So thoughts.
And it's lovely that it's just one exit up. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's great over there. That's great. We can drive over there.
Well, I brought this up. There was an individual I had a conversation with, and we were talking about Sangani. He's like, but. And he goes, think about all the people that are leaving Ocean Springs to go spend money up there, all that money. And I said, yeah, but they're willing to do that.
Yeah.
Do you consider why? Like, maybe people don't want all that over there, and they're happy to make that 15-minute drive
exactly.
up there to leave all the extra stuff up there as well.
You know what a perfect example of that is? So I'm from Mobile, okay? And Donald Trump actually came and looked at property along the Bayway and to build casinos. And I remember at the time, I was like, whoa, yeah, that'd be awesome, you know. But no, Mobile wasn't going to have it. And I don't want to get on that hole.
Sure,
that's
sure.
a whole other rabbit hole.
You brought it up.
I know I did. So I'm gonna set the boundaries really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
But having said that... it didn't happen, and that's in line with what you just said. People are willing to drive to Biloxi to go to the casinos, and people do it all the time. You drive into any of those parking lots, you're going to see a bunch of Alabama tags.
That's right.
And because they don't want it there. They don't want it there, but they're more than happy to drive to Biloxi for it.
Yeah, so if you're confused at what Ocean Springs residents want, consider how many people leave the city at between 5 and 8 a.m. and how many people come back in the city between 4 and 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that people want to live here.
Mm-hmm.
They want to work elsewhere. All the problems with industry and everything else, they want it away. They want it in Pascagoula. They want it in Moss Point. They want it in Biloxi and Gulfport and so on.
Right.
So, yeah.
It doesn't give me heartburn exactly, but I drive to Pascagoula every day for work.
Uh-huh.
And so I drive east Ocean Springs on 90. And, you know, that 57 cut off, if you will. It's just the whole ride. I'm like, you know, there's just so much potential.
Yeah.
There's buildings that just need to be knocked down. I don't know what's going on there. We have hotels that are not hotels. I mean, they're hotels, but they're very low end. They're not maintained. We have dilapidated buildings. I don't get that. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed either by saying, you know, to these property owners, hey, what can we do about the facade of your building? Because something needs to be done quick. And I've heard both sides. I've heard, you know, well, we have big, you know, a big business that wants to come in, and these property owners are like, great, you know, they're going to buy my property. I can retire now, blah, blah. And then it gets shot down, and they're like, well, what am I going to do? Nobody will buy my property to build on it. I don't know what's going on with, like, KFC that's right there in Ocean Springs. That's been abandoned for how long?
Quite some time. I don't know when. I think, see, I graduated high school in 2007, and I think it was shut down.
Shut up. My son was born in 2007.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. He sounds like a great dude.
This is where you say, you don't look that old. That was your segue.
You don't look old. Like, so I talked about me, you know, like, I don't know how old you are.
No,
you
know? But I'm about to start telling people I'm 65 so that they'll go, oh, my God, you look fantastic. Really, I'm going to do that reverse psychology thing.
My grandfather was a pastor in a small church in Texas. Oh, and to the previous point, he was a pastor, but he enjoyed gambling, so he loved to come down to Biloxi.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to, obviously, gamble. Well, you can't gamble in Texas, I don't think. But yeah, he didn't want to be anywhere near it. He didn't want to go, like, gamble in Louisiana. He wanted to come all the way over here. But whenever he would read birthdays off and they were older, like, say, you know, someone was turning 53, he would read 53 in reverse. It was like, you know, a cute old man thing. Whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm going to do that when
this
I get older.
I'm
32 in reverse.
There you go. I'm not saying my age.
No, you don't have to.
You know
what?
I'm quite proud of my age. I'm 48.
You don't look 48.
Thank you.
Truthfully.
There you go.
You know? I promise.
I didn't set that up, did I?
You're good.
I did. Look, I'll take any compliment, even if I teed it up for you.
Isn't this easy?
It's quite fun. Right. And my husband is going to laugh because the whole yesterday I was like, oh man, this is not my thing. I don't, you know, I don't do these type of things. And
you should look into it.
He goes, well, he said, you and Zach are the same way. You start off, you're like, I don't want to do it. And then you get in, you're like, well, that was fun.
And then you crush it. Yeah.
So, Robbie, if you're going to watch this, and he's just going to be laughing, going, I told you so. We've been together for 30 years.
Wow. I just hit 10 with my wife.
We started dating when we were 9. No, I'm kidding. Everybody asks that. It was 14, actually.
Oh. See, I met my wife in piano class in high school.
Nice.
Yeah. I was a class clown, and I annoyed her, the teacher, actually, because so every Friday we had to do like a recital. That was our test every week. We had to do a recital. And my thing, because I love to get on people's goat, and I would work in Cold as Ice. Dun, dun, dun. In some way, shape, or form. And she hated it, but it got a really good laugh.
Yeah.
And going to prom, because I was kind of shy, and shy around girls mostly, but I would sit in that class and be like, oh, I don't have a date to prom, you know, if I can't find someone to go to prom with. And my wife was in that class, and I was actually looking over to kind of see if she could give me a tell that she might want to go, because I wanted to ask her.
Right.
But she never did. But
so what's
it's all
the,
good.
What's the thing I read is that you always wait till April 1st to ask somebody out. Because
there's rules?
Yeah, April 1st, because it's April Fool's Day. So if they say no, you can go, I'm just kidding, April Fool's. And then you really don't have to.
Yeah, I wasn't very smart as a kid either then.
Well, I'm not suggesting that that's actually a good idea. It's just like people say, hey, you know what? You could do that.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about being rejected, because then you could just play it off as an April Fool's joke.
Nice. You could do the same thing with the word but. You know, like but.
Please elaborate.
Okay. So like, imagine... imagine, and I'm working this out right now. This is an original thought right now, but so the word but cancels anything you said previously. Like, imagine your husband coming up to you saying,
"Oh, I was thinking two T but."
No. I love you, but. Right? You don't do that.
Yes.
That's a different message.
Yes.
Versus say, "I love you and," right?
Mm-hmm.
Very different. So I could say, "I'd like to ask you to go to prom, but," and then just kind of wait and feel it out and see how they react.
Yeah.
No, it's a terrible idea, right?
Well, you kind of come across as, you know,
pretentious.
Not as confident as you should be. Confidence is attractive.
Can girls in high school read confidence? Is that a thing?
Yes, absolutely. Cockiness. I mean,
I was pretty cocky.
It's been
not confident.
Quite a
I don't
while
know how I did that.
Since I've been in that situation.
Uh-huh.
But my son, who's 13, I mean, he has an opinion on the girls that are, you know, he's like,
I couldn't imagine.
Oh, he's wiser than, I mean, he's older than his years in certain things. Other things, no. I mean, I call him the teenage turd because that's the age that he's at right now. Sometimes he's this loving whatever and he's funny and laughter, and then other times he's like, the teenage turd. I'm like, oh, there he is.
Well, see, we had like instant messenger back in the day, and that was kind of like texting back then, but we still had a lot of interaction, right?
I had paper and pen.
Paper and pen.
With a little box that you check. That you hit somebody with. You made it into a little football.
Yeah, there you go.
And you flick it at them.
That's right. That's right. I did some of that too. Now in fifth grade.
Wireless.
Yeah, that's why. That's awesome. In fifth grade, they had a mail system. So they had like a mailbox in Tacony, and you and every kid had an address.
Huh.
And it was to practice writing letters. Little did we know in a few years that'd be gone and over with. But so you would actually send letters to your friends through the mail in Tacony, and you would get it delivered daily. It was a really cool thing.
Yeah. Did you write in cursive?
I wrote in cursive. Now, what I have had to do is teach young airmen in the military how to write their name in cursive. They weren't able to open a bank account.
Is that not the most ridiculous thing you've ever... I don't know where I was when that got decided, but I wasn't present because I would have been very vocal about that.
Think about this, though. 3,000 years ago, chances are some young Egyptian boy came home and his parents were looking over at his tablets, right? They said, what are these squiggly lines here? What is this? Like, oh, they're teaching us how to write this way. And they're probably saying, what? No more pictures? No more hieroglyphics?
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
Like, how do you explain vivid, you know, detail or whatever? Well, we just have to write these little symbols out, you know?
Right.
Maybe that's what we're going through.
Probably maybe. No, probably no. Hey, I'm open-minded. I'll consider anything twice. But the thing that was interesting that somebody had said was that our kids cannot even read our, like, the Declaration of Independence. It's all written in cursive. If they were to try to read it, they couldn't read it. I mean, there are political documents that are the basis for, you know, our foundation, and they can't read them.
I'm trying to remember. I think it must have been Thursday. Yeah, it was Thursday. My grandmother's brother came into town, and his wife was an educator, and we started talking about that. It's so funny you say that, because like 2 days ago I had the same conversation, and I hadn't considered then. Like, it's cool to me. Like, I can go up to a copy of the Declaration of Independence and like read it, you know?
Yeah.
But there's people that can't do that.
No. And I write in cursive because that's what I do. I mean, admittedly, I hate writing. I mean, I would prefer typing anything to writing.
Sure.
And so, I mean, I get it, but, you know, I'll write something in cursive and leave a note for my son, and I find myself having to write in block letters so that he can read it. Suffice it to say, I started teaching him how to write in cursive.
Well,
and so he does know how to write in cursive, and he signs his name in cursive. But
that's good. That's
but
good.
That's, you know.
The way I would write work notes that I would have on a pad and kind of keep them out in public was always in cursive because I didn't think a lot of people could read them.
Oh, that's on the flip side.
Yeah.
I still can't wrap my head around it.
It is odd.
Yeah,
it's
crazy.
A weird
and it's like
change.
it happened, and I was like, "Wait, I missed that."
Yeah,
completely
yeah.
missed that.
And that's so wild. You know, we'll get back on track here.
I forgot what we were talking about.
East Ocean Springs, we're still there.
Oh, okay.
But so evolutionary biologists thought that pre-computers, we were on track to lose our pinky.
And I remember that.
Yeah. And so because of computers and the digital age, it's likely that that kept the pinky around, or that's going to keep the pinky around because you use your, because
did,
this,
did you see me going, do I use my pinky? Yes, I do.
Because this thing doesn't do anything. Nothing. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't really affect grip strength or anything. Yeah. It makes you eccentric.
You know? Yeah.
Anyway, East Ocean Springs. How about that for a second?
Okay.
This is going to be a great episode.
I told you, if we don't laugh a lot, I was going to consider this a complete failure.
Well, I just want to keep you on track. That's why I checked.
Thank you.
Check my watch. But East Ocean Springs. So what is your vision for development in East Ocean Springs then?
Again, I'm approaching this the way I plan on approaching everything, is I'm open-minded. What do the people want to see? I'm open to all kinds of suggestions. It doesn't matter what I want. What do they want? I have obviously outside of the alderman position, I have an opinion as a resident.
Yeah, what's your citizen opinion then?
So I would like to, especially in that Highway 57, you know, you're coming down Highway 57, and if you're not from the area and you're traveling, I mean, we have tournaments, you know, 57, or we're going to be
sports
beginning
tournaments,
to, yes. My husband is the president of the Ocean Springs Baseball Organization.
Okay.
And they bring in 300-400 kids every registration for spring. It's phenomenal. And they run that for the city, by the way. Mm. And my husband and the board and a lot of very valuable people out there are trying to create more opportunities to bring tournaments in. That's more revenue for the park. And so they're coming in for these tournaments, and there's, you know, they'll play several games and they have to go someplace to eat. So they get to the end of 57 and it's like left Gaucher, right, I guess, Ocean Springs. I mean, they have that little sign that says, you know, the corporate limit, but that's it.
Yeah.
And so I think setting up something, you know, I'm envisioning, like, you know, brick signs, welcome to Ocean Springs, you know, where placement wise, I'm completely open to it. But, you know, landscaping and making it look more welcoming, maybe having some sort of sign that lists what all's down that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just give an idea, restaurants, shopping. I mean, it doesn't have to be gaudy. It can be something that's, you know, aesthetically pleasing, of course. But something like that, coming in from the Biloxi Bay Bridge, you know, we have Crooked Feather and we have the train, which is adorable. I love that. Mm-hmm. But I think we could do a little bit more.
Sure.
In the spirit of our culture and our art, maybe some sculptures, you know, something that's eye-catching.
Yeah.
And then, of course, coming from Fort Bayou, you know, right there, that, you know, you'd have the little sign there to the right. Mm-hmm. Maybe something on either side.
But yeah, you've
got plenty of opportunity.
I agree. And, you know, when I think about the tournaments, you know, 300 to 500 kids, you know, all those families that are coming down on multi-day tournaments, where are they staying?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not in Ocean Springs.
Right. You know, I mean, you've got over there on Washington as the only hotel opportunities right there. Mm-hmm. And again, that goes to the hotels that are on that little strip right there. That, you know, that's not, I wouldn't stay there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. And even on 57, you know, there's, I don't know. Again, I'm open. A lot of it's protected, so you have to see where. But at the very least, we should be having these conversations. We should be brainstorming. We should be collaborating and saying, okay, what would we all feel comfortable doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we looking at? And I'm not talking about big signs either.
Right, right.
I lived in Madison, Mississippi for a number of years. And the mayor there, they called her Queen Mary. She didn't play. And Madison was an anomaly. The Walmart in Madison, Mississippi, if you ever get an opportunity to take a look at it, it's the only one of its kind in the entire country. It has Roman columns in the front of it.
I might have seen pictures of this.
That is not an exaggeration. The gas stations on either side, Roman columns. She went toe-to-toe with Chili's and said, we're not having that tacky pepper on the top of the roof. You can just do without it. And they did. We had a brick overpass. I mean, she just, no signs, tall signs. She really maintained the integrity of Madison and the look. And it was very consistent, very uniformed. And if you go out there now, it's boomed. It's crazy. It's wow. It's really, really impressive. And I don't see any reason why we can't do something similar to that.
I think it takes that sort of vision and not willing to compromise
exactly.
The spirit of the city, or because the city is nothing but individuals. So it really is the spirit of the individual, of somebody who values, appreciates, and is Ocean Springs, because Ocean Springs is just, I mean, the amalgamation of the output of the individuals, whether it be art or the business decisions or even the individual care that we put towards things like trees. Mm-hmm. You know, those are all amalgamations of the individual. So,
and what better way to encompass, what better way to set Ocean Springs apart than to maintain that integrity?
Yeah.
Because it's very rarely done. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at cities and they just want the big stuff and the malls and all that. If we can accomplish something within, you know, similar, but still maintaining that sleepy little, sweet, quaint town mm-hmm. with the amenities
yes.
that other towns have, that's yes. really going to set us apart.
I agree.
And I think people would be like, I want to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think that's all you're describing, is that if you turn out of the sports complex, make a right, and you get to that sort of fork in the road, do I make a left turn or right turn? You just want to entice people to make that right turn, because there's a lot downtown that families can enjoy.
Absolutely.
You know?
There's all the entire way.
The entire
there's
way.
Stuff you can mm-hmm. you can do and enjoy.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more activities for the kids, because I've got a kid that age. You know, as a resident, I really want to enhance our parks. Things like, you know, bowling or outdoor basketball. Mm-hmm. Just things that the kids can do that's fun. You know, my son, we went to, him and his friends wanted to go to the mall. And I remember growing up, that was where we lived, was the mall.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, you could spend all day there.
Maybe they go see a movie there, at the Silver Screen.
Yeah, they
silver
were,
screen back
they
in the
were
day.
There for like maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And they're like, can you come get me?
Really?
And it wasn't what the hype, you know? And I thought, there's got to be something for these kids to do. If mm-hmm. not within Ocean Springs, then maybe, you know, someplace goes by. But I'd like to see something in Ocean Springs that costs money.
That's right.
I get it.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, wishing.
Yeah. No, fair enough. And you know, raising money is obviously something that you're going to be heavily involved in. And citizens, I think, are scared about how, I guess you have to somehow balance, well, we want this for the city, we just don't want it to affect our pocketbooks.
You know? Right, and I get that. I do. I get that. And again, I think that goes along the lines of the transparency, the decision-making, okay? If the residents of Ocean Springs are made more privy to what we're dealing with, what we have in the coffers, what we have to work with, mm-hmm. then I think that they'll be more reasonable and they'll be instrumental in helping us prioritize.
Sure.
You know, because yes, all of these issues are wonderful, but where do they fall on the totem pole, on the list?
Mm-hmm.
What's more important? I mean, I can't be talking about, I don't know, trying to set up something for the kids or create something for the kids when
you have
there
infrastructure.
Are people, yeah, some people are losing their backyards because of
erosion or something.
Yes, or sewage issues and things mm-hmm. like that. I mean, that's obviously a priority. So,
well, you know, we've talked a bit about growth. What are your thoughts on annexing parts that are outlying the city limits that, I mean, utilize a lot of city services? Well, not really, but maybe that go to the schools. Like, for example, our high school is outside of city limits.
Mm-hmm.
There's developments that have happened, very nice $200,000-$400,000 homes that are outside of city limits. There's also Gulf Park Estates that's been utilizing Ocean Springs for many years, you know. What are your thoughts on annexing or growing and incorporating those areas?
Again, you know, I want to hear from the residents. I want to hear what they feel about it. What are the pros? What are the cons? I mean, I can sit here and speculate all day long. I can say, oh, it's a great idea or it's a terrible idea. You know, on the surface, you would think that it would be a good idea. You would think, okay, well, that just kind of lends itself. That's the next step.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of economic data that needs to be researched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to look at, okay, what are the issues that these areas are dealing with that the city's now going to have to take on.
Sure. And in Gulf Park Estates, there's, you know, water and sewage have been a problem.
Yes.
But also, when you expand city services, it's not just... It's not an easy thing because now you have to add police precincts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to add fire. You have to add all the support services that a citizen of Ocean Springs would normally get. And that increases the budget tremendously, you know.
And so, you know, extending the tax base, will that offset? Mm. You know, will that balance it out?
Yeah.
There's no way that anybody in my position at this particular point can say yes or no.
Yeah.
At this point, it would be something that I would have to research and say, okay, what are all the facts? What are the pros? What are the cons?
Mm-hmm.
And what do the people want?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then go from there. I'm open to discuss anything. Nothing's off the table. Yeah. I mean, ethically speaking.
Right.
I just want to put that little disclaimer in there.
I got you.
As a salesperson, you know, yeah. as sales executive, everything's always on the table,
Ethically speaking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, so I live on the west side of Gulf Park Estates, near the water. I think an area that would make the transition of annexation probably easy. It's not really an area that people would be concerned about. There are parts of Gulf Park Estates that I can totally understand. Like maybe we don't want that part.
Yeah, but can you, is that going to be fair?
Well, that's a philosophical question.
Yeah.
We're talking about balancing needs of the city, and there are, I'm not talking about the people, I'm talking about there are parts of Gulf Park Estates that are liabilities.
Right.
For the city.
Okay.
Yeah. Economic liabilities. But anyway, I can tell you that I don't know that I want to be part of like those rules, because you do, like, you get all those rules that kind of come with it.
Like what? I mean, give me an example.
Well, so for example, oak trees. I've got a large oak tree that is they should have done it better, but I've got a fence. So there's four properties, and at the corner of those four properties, we have the fence. The tree is literally in the middle of it.
Ugh. Okay.
The fences, like, are cut around the tree, and over the years it pushes, you know, the fence out or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want the tree gone.
Gotcha.
You know, and it's a large oak tree. Now I do woodworking. I value trees. Like if I cut that tree down, I actually wanted to slab the tree so I could use the wood. But still, I wouldn't be able to make that decision
right
easily. That's an example. So
well, and my experience with the tree situation, I find that the committee is, they're very reasonable and they're very rational about it. I had two oak trees in my yard. One was kind of overtaking the other. And now, what do I know about oak trees? You know, I at the time, I was like, it's just two trees. I want that one gone. The shade's killing it. My grass isn't growing. There's roots everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted that one tree gone. Well, the committee came out and they looked at it. I had another tree, big oak tree, that was damaging the foundation of the front of my house. So they were like, that's a no-brainer. I mean, they were perfectly fine with that because they could see how it was messing up the foundation of my house. But those other two, they sweated it. But it came out to where they were like, okay, take that one down, because they had another person come in and look, and it was actually killing the tree next to it. And had they gotten rid of that one, this one would have flourished. So they cut it down, and you should see that tree now. I'm so glad they did that. But that wasn't my thought process. I wasn't sitting there going, cut that tree down so this one will flourish. I didn't know. I just wanted the tree gone.
Well, that's an interesting benefit of having that tree committee, is that they're not just sitting there saying you can't. Well,
it's not a blanket. You can't cut down a tree. It's just, but let us look at it and make sure that it's.
Yeah. And they're bringing in expertise to it, which is a benefit to you also. So that's quite interesting.
So they may look at your situation and say, you know, I get it. And yes, it is. It's structurally, you know.
Yeah.
Not where it needs to be. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it.
Sure. Again, that's just an example. But yeah, so there's talk also, we don't have an interstate. So annexing up 57, for talks of annexing up 57 to include the interstate, so we can build along the interstate and all the way up to include the shed. It's part of city limits.
Mm-hmm.
Shed's kind of a staple, you know, that seems to be.
Right, yeah.
But
so what was your question?
What are your thoughts on annexing north?
Oh, I missed all that part. That
way. No, that's fine. It's fine.
I was leading. I was like, okay.
You're probably conceptualizing the area.
Yeah. So there's opportunity there as well. Mm-hmm. And from what I gather and what I know, I mean, again, you'd have to look at what are the issues in that area. Mm-hmm. How much are we talking about that has to be fixed? Infrastructure-wise, are there sewage issues out there, the things like that. But the thing that I love, one of many things I love about this area and this city, is that there's so much potential.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's raw potential. Yeah. We can make it what we want to make it. It's not like we're undertaking or, adopting something that we had nothing to do with and now we're going to have to fix.
It really is. It feels like a young city when you think about all of all the open area that that exists, and that's a huge benefit to have. Like, there's no looming gentrification in Ocean Springs, you know. So,
That's one of the things I love about it is the potential.
Yeah,
and it's exciting, you know. But you're going to have an alderman board, and you're going to have citizens, and you're going to have officials that are going to have to be able to collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to. And like I said, I've already said it once. I'll continue to say it. Transparency is the key.
Yeah.
I truly believe that if the residents of Ocean Springs are more privy to what all is involved, I know, because they're rational, reasonable people and they're intelligent people, that they'll go, okay, all right, now that we see what all is involved, you know what? I may need to change my opinion on that. Or, you know, at least it creates that bridge between this part, you know, this line of thinking, this line of thinking. You know, they think this way and they think this way for their own reasons.
Sure.
And a lot of times those reasons are because of personal experiences or a lack of knowledge. So when we bridge that, that's where the magic happens.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, while we're talking about Ocean Springs, downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, downtown's a staple of Ocean Springs. You know, all the Air Force air traffic controllers are trained here at Keesler, and so an air traffic controller is very familiar with South Mississippi, right? Because they spend a lot of time here.
Right.
It's kind of a mecca for them for further training. They'll come down here, and they always talk about Ocean Springs. They always talk about downtown. You know, how fun it is, you know, the bar hopping scene, all that stuff, how beautiful it is. But it does have some problems. Downtown's got some problems. Traffic being one of those issues. What are your thoughts on parking exactly? How do we fix those issues?
Wow.
Is that a good question?
That was a great question. I don't know that I have a great answer.
Sure.
Well,
there's a lot of details also that somebody, again, I'll give you that. It's not a fair question in that you're not behind the scenes with
them. Oh, no,
it's
a perfectly fair question. But, I mean, I live here. Yeah. You know, I go downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I patronize lots of stuff down there.
Uh-huh.
And I run into the same issues that everybody else does. I can't find a place to park. Just driving down there is, you know, my life flashes before my eyes. Well, the side of my car's life flashes before my eyes because I just know I'm going to scrape somebody.
Yeah.
I'm
surprised it's not more common, honestly.
Well, I don't know. I agree. But I think people are so used to it that, you know, but that says nothing to people who are traveling here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're used to it. But if we're really wanting to boost tourism, that's going to be it's not going to fare well. So I think there are options. I think there are solutions. There's always solutions as far as I'm concerned. Whatever problem there is, there's a solution. It may not be exactly what you want or what I want, but there's a solution we can meet in the middle on. I know that there's been talk about making Government Street one way. There's talk about doing a parking garage. I'm not opposed to the parking garage. As a matter of fact, I think I know exactly where they're considering it.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's not too terribly high, that the facade and the way it's built kind of blends into, you know, the architecture that's already there. That's a great idea. As far as one-way streets, you know, again, I'm going to reference being in Mobile. If you go to downtown Mobile, Dolphin Streets, all those streets are one-way.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They didn't start off that way. And so it was a process. You know, we're talking about a lot more streets, but I think it warrants conversation. I think it warrants saying, okay, if we make it one way, how does it affect traffic in other areas? How can we design it to where it does flow and it doesn't necessarily impact the residents? Mm-hmm. So again, it's a conversation that I believe needs to be had. I want to hear the pros and cons. I want to hear what the people want. And then we can come up with something collaboratively.
Yeah. I'm told that they've done a study on it, and, I suppose I could go down to City Hall and get that because I'd like to know what the study said. My concern, which I'm sure you'll appreciate this, is when you go one way, where does the, you know, opposite direction traffic go? You know, and it doesn't seem like, it seems like the most viable solution is to get back on 90 and come back through.
You have to do circles. Yeah. And that's how it is in Mobile. I mean, you go one way and then you're like, okay, I got to get over there.
Right.
And the easiest way would just go right there, but you can't. So you have to go around mm-hmm. and make your way. It's like doing a series of U-turns until you get to where you want to go.
Yeah, the problem is the parallel streets to government aren't
narrow.
Yeah, they're very narrow. So how do you and there's no parking there. Like mm-hmm. I think there's maybe one or two small parking lots, but one of them is probably the one behind the Masonic Lodge. Mm-hmm. That would be one behind the grocery. Mm-hmm. And then there's a city one, I think, on the north side of government. But in any case, yeah, that's a tough problem. I've wondered if turning it into a pedestrian or non-vehicular, non-motor vehicle, gas motor, oh, goodness, gas golf carts. Not cars and a
during
pedestrian
during certain
area.
Hours.
I kind of don't mind the idea of permanently.
Yeah, I mean, it can go both ways.
Yeah, I'd like to see if that's viable, because there's a problem. One problem that I didn't think about was, well, what about delivery truck drivers?
Yeah.
People that are trying to service these.
How does New Orleans do it? And early in the morning, mm-hmm. when there's nobody doing anything,
yeah.
they have it to where the delivery trucks can come in,
yeah.
and they do all their deliveries, and then they go. And they're allowed special parking privileges for certain amounts of time, and then they're in and out. So, I mean, granted, I'm talking about New Orleans, but a street is a street. And so maybe there could be a certain schedule that delivery drivers have to follow. And after certain times, you know, that's the window that they can deliver in. I'm just spitballing.
Sure, sure.
But, that's something. Again, this is great conversation. This is, you know, and the more people that are involved with that, the more ideas you're going to get,
sure,
the more suggestions. Sure. So, again, it goes towards opening it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listening to everybody. And, you know, my Facebook page, I have an alderman Facebook page, mm-hmm. elect Jennifer Burgess, blah, blah, blah. And right now I can't post, I can't boost anything.
Yeah.
Because of the whole Facebook regulations. Mm-hmm. They got to make sure I'm a real person and
right,
not some domestic terrorist.
This is something, yeah. Yeah, it's gotten wild.
But,
you know, we were talking before this.
Yeah,
about that.
But when I'm able to boost, or even before then, I really want to open up the dialogue. I want to say, hey, you know what? What gives you heartburn? What do you love? You know, I want to get all that information, because that's why I'm doing this. I want to hear from people. I'm tired. I've never been one to sit on the sidelines, mm-hmm. ever. And anybody that knows me knows I don't. I'm typically behind the scenes, like mm-hmm. I said. I feel like I can really make an impact. I can really be a voice, because I'm not afraid to speak. I'm not afraid of confrontation. Confrontation is a wonderful thing. It truly is. It doesn't have to be aggressive. Confrontation is what gives relationships legs, because if you can get through that confrontation, the friendship, the partnership becomes stronger.
Yeah.
So I'm not afraid of confrontation. I actually go towards it, because that's how bonds are made.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can be a voice for the people of my ward and for the people of Ocean Springs. So I want to hear from people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I gotcha. And I think that we need more than, more of that. I think you can avoid a lot of controversy and embarrassment if you're able to, you know, lay the cards on the table, you know, stop the poker face, and let's actually get down to, you know, brass tacks.
A man who has nothing to hide hides nothing.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, well, I didn't come up with it, but I like it too.
Well, while we kind of wrap this up here, I'm curious. Do you want to give kind of a last little message about your campaign?
Yeah, sure. You know, I've been a resident here for 14 years. Married for, what did I say, 24? I got to get that number right, don't I? You know, my son's in school, and we love this community. We really do. And as far as my platform is concerned, I want to make sure the transparency, the accountability, the collaboration, all of that is there. That is my top priority, because I think that a lot of the issues that we're having is based on those three things. Mm-hmm. I want to be a good steward for the money that we have to use. I want to make sure we use it wisely. I love youth sports. That's where, you know, a big part of my heart is. We've got so much great opportunity for these kids, and it's fun. It's something for them to do. So, you know, the parks and giving the opportunities for these kids to play and making sure that these parks are in great condition and all mm-hmm. that is important as well. Making Ocean Springs shining the gem that it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, making it sparkle, that's important too. It instills a sense of pride. It brings tourism. It brings people, brings attention, the good kind of attention.
Right.
Which ultimately brings in revenue and opportunities. So that's a priority, supporting our local businesses. Again, talking about giving them the resources so that they can compete with larger businesses.
Yeah.
So that they do, residents of Ocean Springs have the options to go to these smaller businesses because they have the technology advancements that some of these bigger companies do.
Right.
Creating those resources. No tax increases for the aldermen. Or not tax increases, pay raises.
Pay raises,
no
yeah.
pay raises. You know, I don't want to do any tax increases. They did two tax increases already. Mm-hmm. I'm with Melanie on, you know, extending the tax base.
Yeah.
What else did I put on my broadband? Those are the big things. Supporting our school district. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a fantastic school district. And those teachers do a lot on their own. And I want to see more of, you know, support for them. Mm-hmm. But they're doing a great job.
Especially in this environment.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. These teachers, and I've got quite a few friends that are teachers, and I just look at them with absolute awe.
Carolyn Price was on here
talking about Carolyn.
Yeah, she's amazing. She was talking about some of the struggles that she's had in this COVID environment. Well, look, I've had a blast talking with you,
and thank you. I've had fun too. I came into it just going, "Ugh, what are we going to talk about for 9 minutes?"
It's pretty comfortable, right?
Yeah, it's like a roller coaster where you look at it and you're like, "I'm not riding that," and then you get on and you're like, "Let's do it again."
Yeah, it's so much fun, you know, and I think that's what's attractive to a lot of people about conversation is that it's so difficult in digital media to have just a mutual conversation. And so
you ain't lying.
I know. So to see two people that like, I reached out to you. I've never met you before. You
know? And I was like, who is this guy?
And again, just to get your voice out there. And it's been a fantastic conversation. And I'll tell you, the real benefactors here are the people of Ocean Springs, especially your ward. You know, there's so many talented people out there. So many people that have great intentions, that love the city, and you're obviously one of them. And so everybody benefits from that. You know, it's going to be, if I was in Ward 1, I'd feel great about you being... being my alderman, but there's a lot of great choices out there. And again, thank you for coming on the show, and I've had a blast.
I have too. And I'll tell you, I have a lot of people that are saying, you know, gosh, I wish I lived in Ward 1. And I have a GoFundMe for my campaign.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So the standing joke, and this is a joke, but I said, I'm going to make my campaign. Oh, you can't vote? Drop a C note. I'm just kidding. I'm not really kidding.
Well, do you want to talk about how people can get in touch with you or support you?
Yeah. So I have a Facebook page, Instagram, but Facebook is probably the easiest to navigate. I mean, it's Elect Jennifer Burgess, Alderman Ward 1 on Facebook. You can message me. and then check out the posts. There's information about me. I try to post things that are, you know, relevant and important to the community. And the GoFundMe is on there if you feel compelled to drop a seat.
Sure.
Or $5. I mean, whatever. I'm not being greedy.
Right.
And then, talk to me. Like I said, once I can start boosting, I think it'll be, more visible.
Really take off.
Yeah. But so far, I've had great response. This community is so fantastic. I mean, even walking around, just knocking on doors or in businesses, they're like, good for you. Look at you. That's so awesome. Yeah. I wish I could vote for you.
Drive a seat in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I really probably should put a... No, I'm not going to do that. That's tech.
That's awesome. Well, again, Jennifer... best of luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is fun.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks. See y'all.
Bye.
That's it. Yeah. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I certainly did. And if you want to follow more and hear more, you can check us out on any of the major podcasting platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, everything. You can also follow us on social media. I've got a YouTube channel, so search for Shop and Chivalry. Subscribe there. We also have Instagram. Just look for Shop and Chivalry. Twitter at Shop and Chivalry and Facebook.com/Shop and Chivalry. You can also shoot us an email at administration@shopandchivalry if you'd like to be on the show or suggest somebody or give more direct feedback. You can also find that link on our website, shopandchivalry.com, where I have all of my ramblings about the show, what the show means to me, that particular episode. I've got a blog, other media on there as well as embedded players. So you can play the shows and the videos for those that have video as well. So again, thank you for all the love. I appreciate all the feedback. It's been wonderful. I'm having a great time. And much love. All right. See you.